Welcome to the Author Wheel Podcast, where we believe there's no single right way to produce, publish, or promote your work. Only what's right for you. In every episode, we'll talk about common writing roadblocks and how to overcome them so you can keep your stories rolling.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Author Wheel Podcast. I'm Greta Boris, USA Today bestselling mystery thriller author.
And I'm Megan Haskell, award-winning fantasy adventure author. Together, we are the Author Wheel. Today's guest is a new friend we met at the 20 Books Vegas conference last year, Jaffe Publishing's acquisitions editor, Stephanie Carey. It was a nice change of pace from all the indie business guests we've had on recently. We always think it's a good idea to learn about all of the publishing options, and Jaffe has been on the cutting edge of the new digital-first traditional publishing space. Both indie and traditional authors will learn a lot from this conversation, so make sure you listen all the way through. But first, Greta, how's your week going?
Nice. It's good. I'm just settling back in from vacation, so it was a little bit of a short week. And on the business news, the only thing I have to say is that I did check my KDP dashboard when I got home, and it was always nice. I had some really nice days financially, so it was like, oh, I made some money while I was wine tasting. I think I probably spent it almost as fast as I was making it, but hey. You know, it's always nice.
It's on vacation. That's what you do.
I know. That was good. So anyway, that's about it for me. What's going on with you?
Well, I have been absolutely swamped with The Last Descendant Kickstarter this week. And it's funny, I've, you know, this is actually the third campaign I've run, including, you know, when we include our nonfiction campaign. And I always forget how much extra work it is. I feel like I'm all prepped and ready to go. And then I hit the launch button and it's like, oh no, I've got to pivot. I've got to do this. I've got to change that. I've got to fix this and do more images. I've got more, need more graphics, all the stuff. So it ends up being a lot more time, but it's been going okay. And then I'm also getting ready for the LA Times Festival of Books this weekend. So when this actually airs, unfortunately the event will be over, but I'm prepping for it right now. And I didn't realize this until just recently, but it's actually the largest literary festival in the country.
Yeah, I did know that. I did it once years and years ago and was absolutely gobsmacked at how many people and how many books and how many publishers and everything were there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of crazy. So this is my first time. So it's taking over the USC campus, which will be kind of a fun thing for me because that's my alma mater. But I kind of don't really know what to expect. So here goes nothing, I guess.
Well, it was really, really hot the day that I did it. So it'll be nice. It won't be so hot.
Yeah, this weekend's supposed to be on the cooler side, but at least not rainy either.
Yeah, because I think the heat did kind of, there wasn't quite as many customers walking by because it was just like 90s and
No, it's supposed to be beautiful this weekend, I think. So I'm excited for it. I'm sharing a booth with a few other authors and so it'll be interesting. I'll make some good new connections if nothing else, and hopefully sell quite a few books along the way.
Well, I will be interested to hear how it goes when you get back.
Yeah, I will be sure to tell you. So that's it for me for this week. So listeners, please don't forget, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and review it if you love it. And if you do, please also consider sharing your favorite episode with a writer friend. Word of mouth is how this podcast gets out there. So that's it for now. Let's dive into the interview with Stephanie Carey. Steph is the commissioning editor at Jaffe Books, one of the UK's leading independent publishers of commercial fiction. And guess what, guys? They are currently looking to expand further into the American thriller and suspense market. So if you've got a pitch ready,
woohoo!
Steph's going to be your girl.
Poor Steph. She's going to get inundated after this.
I know she is. Watch out. We actually met Steph at the 20 Books to 50K conference in Vegas last November and had a fabulous dinner. We were just reminiscing about our dinner at this little Mexican restaurant there. It was great. And we really enjoyed our conversations. So we decided to invite her on the show today. One of the things that we always talk about a lot is how at the Author Wheel, we try to be very agnostic, whether you're indie self-publishing or whether you're, you know, going for that traditional deal or some kind of hybrid thing in the middle. You know, it's always good to learn about all the options in every corner of the publishing industry and even across the pond.
Yes.
So welcome, Steph. We're so excited to have you here.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. It's so fun seeing you guys again.
Absolutely.
Yes, we did quite a bit of hanging out and drank occasionally a glass of wine here or there together.
Or two or possibly three.
just the odd glass, yeah. It was so good. Well, before we dive into our usual questions, tell us all the amazing things that you've been doing since you got back from back home after your jaunt to America.
My jaunt to America was so fun. And since I got back home, I actually have signed a couple of authors who I met at 20 Books. So I've been able to show off to my boss and say, look, you've got to send me again next year. It's been really good.
That is wonderful. Yeah.
It really, really is, especially because, I mean, that conference is largely focused on self-published or indie authors. So I'm actually curious, what drove you to attend that conference in particular?
Joffrey Books is an independent publisher and it's digital, but we have always learned so much from the indie author space. I think self-published authors are often at the very forefront of the publishing industry. They know exactly what they're doing in terms of trends, in terms of genre, in terms of marketing. And when one of our authors was attending another conference, we suddenly started thinking, you know, we've got to go to these things. We need to be learning from the creme de la creme. And so we thought, well, what's the biggest one? And it's without a doubt, I think it's 20 Books.
Yeah. And I think the new version or Author Nation, I think they're anticipating or trying to grow it even further. So they're really trying to make it the premier event for, you know, indie authors in particular, but, you know, the author and publisher space, which is awesome.
We may even be having Joe Solare, who is the new director, promoter, owner of that conference, on the podcast pretty soon. We're Ooh. Trying to schedule. I know, that should be fun.
We are hoping. So Steph, why don't you tell us a little bit more about your personal journey into the publishing industry?
Yeah, of course. So it sounds kind of ridiculous to say at this point, but obviously I have always loved reading. It's like, yeah, whatever. But I mean, that is a great big part of my job. So it's been really useful and really nice having to get to a point where I now work with books and I get to spend so much time reading. I actually did French literature at university and I got to go live in Paris for a year. And you can either teach or carry on studying. And I decided to get an internship at Édition Larousse. They do Larousse Gastronomique and all these dictionaries and language learning guides. And I was only there for 6 months, but I just learned so much. It was so much fun. I was working on these translated editions of English classics, and they were kind of marked up almost like Shakespeare with little notes in the margins. So if you wanted to read a book in English and your English wasn't amazing, but it was okay, but you just couldn't sit through a dictionary, like looking back all these words, you were able to read those. So that was my first stint in editorial and I just loved it. And then after I came back and finished my degree, I got a couple of different bits of work experience. I think I worked at a lifestyle magazine publisher in the south of England and then also in London on like a pregnancy, childcare, like women's health publisher, which was really fab.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
And then you landed at Joffy.
Many moons later, I uh, I've actually done a little bit of everything, I think, across the publishing game in England. I've worked on academic monograph on criminology books, which was just absolutely fascinating. And then I worked on some sort of serious nonfiction memoir, autobiography, history, politics. Then I worked on illustrated children's books, which was honestly just a laugh a minute. One of my titles was honestly called Magical Rainbow Unicorn. And then I ended up with Joffrey.
That's hitting all the tropes.
Yeah, definitely.
That is very current right now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Wonderful. So how long have you been with Joffrey?
I think it's about 3.5 years now, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about Joffrey in particular. You said, you know, you're digital only. Obviously, you're based in the UK. But what does that mean as far as how you approach authors and your marketing strategy and that kind of thing?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd say some publishers are digital only and some publishers are sort of digital first. I would say we're digital, mostly digital is our absolute primary, but we do generally have a print edition of most of the books that we publish. We've just started doing these gorgeous full wraparound jackets now as well. The vast majority of the books we sell are in ebook. They're incredibly good value, both in the UK and in the States. As I say, we've learned so much from self-published authors in terms of all the full gamut of digital marketing. Our marketing team is incredibly strong. We've actually just hired some more people. We have a social media manager who used to be, I think, one of the biggest book talkers, booktubers in the States.
Wow.
Yeah, and now she does all of our socials. We started off about 10 years ago. Jasper Joffrey, our CEO, was publishing his mum's old romance novels and was sort of getting into KDP and, you know, sort of that really DIY approach, doing everything yourself. And he would do the editing and design the covers and write the blurbs and do all of the, you know, your book blurb, your Facebook ad, Amazon ads, everything. And then we started taking on some more authors, and we've got authors like Joy Ellis, Faith Martin, Helen H. Durant, who've been with us from early in the day, who've just sold amazing, amazing well in the British crime genre.
Well, that's great. So why don't you walk us through a little bit of your day-to-day as an editor at Joffrey? Like, what does that... I think most of our listeners, or maybe not most, but a lot of our listeners honestly probably have zero idea what an acquisitions editor actually does.
Yeah. So I have the amazing job of being able to look for new authors and work with them on their books. So I might be looking in our submissions book inbox. I try and look, you know, every other day and really sort of keep abreast of what all the, you know, the new submissions are like. I will be finding new authors. So that means having calls with people and talking to them about their ideas, explaining to them what we do, seeing if they would maybe like to come on board with us. Often with a lot of debut or authors who've maybe done a little bit of publishing, either with other companies or, you know, on their own, I'll help them with a sort of really big picture story element. So they'll send me an outline or a synopsis and we'll be looking at it and thinking, you know, how does this best fit the genre? What is the reader gonna most want from this? I might be writing blurbs. I might be sending cover briefs to our amazing designers, thinking about the whole package, you know, the title, the blurb, the cover, thinking about how to sell these books online in this really snappy sort of really plot focused way. A lot of reading, a lot of emails, a lot of talking to lovely authors.
So it sounds to me a little bit like once you find the book that you like or that you want to acquire, you know, you sign the contract with the author and then you're kind of the shepherd for that book. You're guiding it through the whole process within the company. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. I've never considered myself a shepherd before, but 100% now I have a flock. Yeah. Yeah, from stage one to the end of publication. And, you know, thereafter, like checking online, you know, does the blurb look okay on mobile and on desktop? You know, how are the reviews coming in? Like checking the chart ratings and, yeah, just being an absolute champion for all the lovely writers.
I love that, you know, because I do think that, you know, I have one series that's indie, and I got to say, one of the most difficult things about that is not having somebody who can step back and get a broader, get the overview, the big picture overview of like, where does this book fit in the market? What are the tropes that should be called out and shown on the cover? What are the, you know, it's like when you're the author, it's hard because you're so immersed in the details of this story. It's hard to stand back and get the big picture. So I love the idea of having a shepherd. That's such a good idea.
Yeah, I love that, Megan. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, feel free to steal it.
I've already done that.
Yeah, that's good. So one of the questions that we always ask, if people are a writer, we ask them about their own roadblocks. But since you're a shepherd with so many in your flock, what do you see is one of the most common roadblocks your writers run into, and how do you help them overcome that roadblock?
I think often a problem is that idea, especially if they've come from self-publishing, that, you know, they've got to do everything. If you're a self-published author, I mean, you guys know this, you're the one writing the blurbs, you're the one briefing the cover designers, or maybe doing the covers yourself. You're writing the book, then doing a full edit, then you've got maybe beta readers and like outsourced editors. You've got to take in all the corrections. I just can't imagine how anybody does it. We have a whole company that does all of it. And so I think for authors who come to us, sometimes it can be hard to sort of believe that they don't have to do all of that anymore. I mean, it's great if our authors are on social media or, you know, they have an amazing newsletter that they want to keep doing, but just being able to say like, no, you're the writer, you write, and we'll take care of everything else. Like it's fine. We've got you. You can sort of relax now. I think that's something that people are sort of almost, they can't quite believe and they can't quite let themselves settle into.
I do think there's something in the indie mindset that often is, plug up your ears, Megan, that's a little controlling.
What? Me?
No. Sometimes, yes, we have some control freaks. Yeah. No offense to those listening, I know, who are control freaks, because Megan and I both are in different ways. So,
yeah.
And you have to be. You absolutely have to be. If it's...
Yeah.
If it's your business, if it's your livelihood, if it's your life's passion and you're trying to do it and you're checking every single day, you have to be absolutely a control freak of the entire whole process. But it's really nice to be able to say, nope, you just do the ideas and the words and leave the rest to us.
Yeah. Well, I think that's so interesting too, especially from comparing Joffe to what I understand of like the big traditional publishers. And to be fair, this is, you know, third hand information because I've never actually talked to anyone from one of the big traditional houses. So big traditional houses, if you're listening, feel free to pitch us because we'd love to talk to you. But it's very interesting to me to like see that difference, at least from my understanding of sort of the hands-on ability that Joffe has to work with authors. I mean, we happen to know one of your new contracts, one of your new authors that you've brought on. And so I know I've heard some of that process and how you really are a shepherd for these books. Whereas I think a lot of indie authors have been told basically since the advent of Kindle that if you go traditional, you lose all control. So it's like this black or white, all or nothing. Mm-hmm. Either you're, you know, involved in the process and able to, you know, help guide the cover yourself, or you don't do anything at all. And so I'd like to, you know, what's kind of your perspective on that? Is that kind of accurate? Are you able to be more hands-on with these authors, or do you kind of just say, you know, we're going to do all this and you just kind of sit back and over there and do your thing? Like, how's your perspective on that? Like from the, I'm going to say mid-sized or small-sized indie publisher.
I'd say it's often pretty tailored in terms of the editorial side of things. We can be as hands-on absolutely as our authors need us to be. I know some people really need to sort of be able to see every single stage. So an author will send me their first draft and I'll read it and, you know, give them some notes. And then they'll, or maybe I'm doing a full structural edit myself, if it's not going out of house to one of our freelancers. And then there's a copy edit and then there's a proofread. And sort of towards the end stages of the process, it's mostly checking that things are in-house style and just correcting any tiny little errors. And some authors are more than happy to say, look, it's fine. You know, I know it's only the last little changes that you're making. And some people really need to see and be able to check and approve everything. So we're happy with as involved or as not involved as authors want to be in terms of that. You know, if they want to see every single stage, fine, great. I think I would probably be the same. I'd want to have my eyes on every tiny little track change. And then in terms of the cover, lots of previously self-published authors, you know, they know exactly what they're doing in terms of the designs and where the book will sit in the market. So we love to get people's ideas. I guess we would always come at it from this wholesale perspective. We talk to everybody in the team. We've got sales, we've got marketing, we've got publicity, we've got social media. We can sort of look and see, as you say, Greta, that sort of step back. We can see the really big picture and come up with an amazing identity and cover and title and a whole package idea. But we, you know, we love authors' feedback and input, and yeah, we're always doing things collaboratively, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. And that's what we've heard in particular about Joffe, and because of the way that your company grew, I guess, is that's always been like the word of mouth, if you will, about the company, is that it is, you as an author, you are able to be a little bit more hands-on, or a little as hands-on as you actually want to be. And some authors don't want to be. Some authors just want to be like, you know what, you do it. I have no interest. I just want to write the words. And that's great too. But for those that do want at least a little bit of that type A control free, just a little. Just a little.
One of the things I know has been true about the big traditional publishers. I'm not sure if it's changing or not, but is, you know, has been true, is that they tend to focus their marketing dollars on new releases, and the backlist kind of gets lost in the dust. And if a series is not selling super well by like the second book, it's often tossed or tanked, you know. I had heard through the grapevine that Joffe was a little bit more like the indie authors, in that you do look at backlist in a little bit more of the longevity of a series. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. we like to say there's no such thing as backlist. It's just a book you haven't met yet.
Aw, that's so cute.
It's pretty adorable, isn't it? Because it's new. It's new to any reader who hasn't already read it. We don't really have this kind of tiered hierarchical system of like, oh, this is a super bestseller, they're going to get 90% of the budget, which I think can be the case for some of the lists at bigger publishers. We treat every book like it has the potential to be a bestseller. And so we keep pushing in all different ways. Maybe it doesn't take off immediately, so we'll think, oh, let's, you know, see if we can submit it for a deal or an award, or we'll play with the pricing structure across the series to get more readers in, release, give it away for free for a limited time, and get a, you know, a whole bunch of new people into the series. We'll We'll do all sorts of things. It's not really this kind of, we're just going to give up and ditch it in the dust. And some of our best new American books that we've been putting out recently have been, you know, previously published, and so I guess would have been considered backlist. Anya Mora, we republished a bunch of her books, and they have taken off enormously well. Not My Baby, my Husband's Wife, I think it's called. That was the first one we did. A whole bunch of these really amazing family-oriented domestic type thrillers.
I love those kind of books.
Yeah, we love those too, if anyone's listening.
Well, so one thing I picked up on there that you were just talking about is that you're willing to give books away for free. So you're doing a free promotion, which, as I understand it, is not normally a traditional publisher, big publisher, you know, publisher. I mean, indie authors mm-hmm. do it, but I thought that was kind of I don't want to say taboo, but certainly not a common practice amongst publishers. But you guys do free promotions. You do the like low price deals and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we started a campaign recently called Free Book Friday, and across all of our various imprints, usually sort of from the deeper depths of the archives, we will be giving away a book free. I think it's now 3 books free away every week. Wow. It's a great way of revitalizing series, or especially if an author's bringing out a new series and we want to get some new readers in, get some more people hooked. It's a great way. I know authors can sometimes be a bit like, help, you're giving my hard work away for free, but it's obviously a very limited time. And it's a great way of finding a new audience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even for myself, I'm a wide indie author. So I have my debut novel is perma-free. Like, you can download it anywhere at any time for free, with the idea being, of course, that then you hook readers and you get them to read through the backlist or the rest of the series, or, you know, my other titles.
The other books they haven't met yet.
Yes, the other books.
And it earns you a lot of goodwill as well, especially if you're self-pubbed or you're a smaller. Yeah, you know, people are like, that's nice. What else have they got?
Yeah. And it seems, I mean, it certainly seems to help attract an audience. And then, like I said, hopefully you get that read through. So I'm impressed, I guess, that a publisher who is running their business, like, usually, I don't know, it just seems like, and indie authors are sometimes like this too. It's like, well, I don't want to give it away for free because I work so hard, and then I'm losing money on those titles. But the truth is, when you actually look at the data, you end up earning more. So I'm impressed that you guys are willing to do that. That's awesome.
Well, we learned it from the
not from me, I don't think, because I stole it from somebody else. So what other like tools or advice would you give to authors who are interested in potentially getting a traditional deal with a company like Joffy or Joffy itself?
I'd say one of the best things I would recommend is a really tailored submission email. Sometimes you get people saying, now I know you don't publish children's fiction, but would you like to publish my children's fiction? And the answer is always going to be no. You know that what we do and what we don't do. I think know your market, know your audience. We'd love to see an author who's like, my book is like X, Y, and Z in these really specific ways. You know, like it's a pacey domestic thriller, or it's like a survival thriller, or it's, you know, and everyone who knows their competitors or, you know, other books that are similar. A clean manuscript. It doesn't have to be like prestigiously, amazingly, you know, error-free. We're probably going to want to do some work on it, but, you know, a level of care that you've, you know, had a look at it, you've read it over. And I think having an awareness of what the sort of genre is as well, I'd say, and, you know, like a really clear idea of being able to sell the sort of core key plot elements.
That sounds like, if you are uncertain, listeners, go check out our course, Understanding Your Genre, because we go into in our book. We have a quick tips guide on that because it's true. I mean, Megan and I have both learned this the hard way, but especially me. I pitched my first manuscript to an agent as a cozy horror, which did not exist at the time. But I thought it was pretty darn clever, you know, and she didn't.
It exists now.
I know,
right?
But it did not. I was ahead of myself, ahead of the industry, mm-hmm. too far ahead of the industry, apparently, because, yeah.
Light years.
Light years. Now I should dredge that old book up somewhere and go pitch it again now that cozy horror exists. Mm-hmm. You know? but yeah.
I'd say that's a really good point. And if you're trying to make it kind of fall between two very, very disparate stools, it's going to be hard to sell if you can't tell readers what it looks like, what it feels like, what it's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to know. Yeah. You have to know enough about the story you've written to express it in a very short, like, elevator pitch.
Exactly.
Because acquisition editors and agents are very busy people and they got stories coming at them left and right. And it's the hook, right?
Mm-hmm. And my personal tip would be put that in the body of the email. Don't save it for some special extra cover letter that you've got to download as well. Put all the good stuff in the email.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So I'm actually curious now, how does the submission process work? Like, do you go to the contact page on Jaffe and fill out a contact form? Do you send an email? Do you guys even accept attachments? Like, some of them don't. What's your process?
So we have completely open subs. We do work with agents and we work with authors, you know, sort of directly, but anyone and everyone can submit a book to us. It's submissions@jaffebooks.com. There's guidelines on our website of what we're looking for, how much to include, what to sort of lay out. But yes, send an attachment of the book. A Word doc's easier. We can send it to our Kindles and read it on the tube on our way in if we're commissioning editors and we're short on time. And yeah, tell us straight up in the email, you know, this is an amazing domestic suspense and it's like this and this, and this is the plot. And we'd love to hear from you.
What do you say to the advice that this is not for when you're approaching agents or editors? It's not a don't hide the what is it? Don't hide the lead. Don't bury the lead. Right? Like, you just tell what the book is about. You're not trying to keep it secret. You're not trying to have the twists. You want them to know. Is that accurate?
Yeah, one thing that we always ask for, and this comes like once we've even signed a deal and we're working with an author and they deliver a manuscript, you say, please, can you write a spoilerful plot synopsis? You know, we have this on our shared drive and the whole company has access to just a brief resume of what is the story? What's going on here? So yeah, tell us all the big juicy twists and turns. That's what we like.
Yeah, that's really good. I thought of a question when we were saying this about pitching. So I have heard that, you know, agents, a lot of the time they want to tell you, oh, it's just the book. But do you give preference to, say, an author who has a platform, a person who has a platform, over maybe a debut author who hasn't even got a Facebook page or a website? Or how much do you look at what they've done career-wise as opposed to just the story itself? Like, what's the weight?
I'd say it's always exciting if someone's got a really genuinely incredible platform already. But I mean, that's hard, and you kind of basically have to be a semi-celebrity to have something like that. So the main thing that matters is the story. If it's got a great hook, we can sell anything. Caleb Stevens, it was, I think, his debut novel. It was a thriller. It's called The Girls in the Cabin. I found that in our submissions inbox. He had another book out, I think with Timber Press in the autumn. And I don't, you know, he'd got collections and he'd got sort of short stories and, you know, bits and bobs here and there. But this was, I think, his first full length novel. And that's just got a fantastic hook. And we could sell that right away without any, you know, you don't need to do all the sort of socials. If you want to, that's great. And if you already have it, great. But it's always the story. Yeah, we'll take, you know, we're not prejudiced against debuts or anything like that.
Well, that's good to hear. I think that is going to encourage some people, because I, you know, you hear that they don't want to even look at you if you don't have, you know, 5,000 people like your Facebook page or something.
No. I mean, again, that's our job. You know, we'll be putting ads on Facebook. We'll be sending it to our mailing list of 100,000 people. You know, we'll do the marketing. It's, I love working with debut authors as well, because it's that collaboration, that sort of back and forth of like working on ideas and looking at a book go from just an idea to a synopsis to a first draft. Yeah, some of my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
So another kind of quick question off of that too, then. So you said, you know, from an idea to an outline to a synopsis to a draft, do you prefer people to come to you with a completed manuscript? Especially, I mean, we're talking mystery thriller here, or thriller suspense, I guess, mostly you. But so full manuscript or pitch an idea or both or either?
I'd say both. I mean, ideally we'd love one book that's done. And then if you've got some more ideas, yeah, we'd love to hear them. That's one of the first questions I usually ask. If, you know, if I read a book and I'm like, oh, this is really good, it's, you know, have you got anything else in your back pocket? What else could we work on together?
Oh, very cool.
And I think that this is a good tip for listeners. If you're going to, and tell me if you agree with me, Steph, if you're going to pitch a publisher, I think it's a darn good thing to go to the publisher's website and do a little research on the authors that they publish, how those authors are doing. Look at those authors' Amazon pages. Look at the sales. Look at how many reviews. Look at the covers. There was, when I was pitching publishers back in the day, there were a couple of publishers that I did not pitch because I looked at their book covers and they looked so amateurish. I was like, I don't want to be with them. Plus, like you were saying, make your pitch very tailored. If you can see what this publisher is publishing, that is, you know, I mean, it's respectful too. Like you're coming in, like you said, you're not coming in saying, hey, you want to do my children's book?
Yeah.
And that publisher has no children's books. You want to do my cookbook? They have no cookbooks. You know, it's like,
yeah,
looking at the kind of book it is. So would you agree that that's a good tip?
Yeah, always. And also, you know, it's going to be, if it's going to be successful, you have to be happy as well. Some authors want to be published, you know, sort of in print. And we do have print editions, but that's not our focus. And if that is your big, big goal, we're not going to be right for you. And I feel like we have to be very upfront with authors. And I think, as you say, authors should equally do their share of their research and make sure, you know, this is the kind of publisher for me. You know, if you want, hopefully, to be an Amazon top 100 bestseller, then we're your people. But if, you know, if you're looking for something else, then maybe not. And one last thing, actually, on email submissions, if I could please give a little plea. No more emails that begin with "Dear Sirs."
Oh yeah, that's right. Come on.
It's crazy. It's editorial and it's publishing. There's not that many sirs in any case.
Yeah. Well, and actually, but that kind of goes back to the same point too, is that I don't know about Joffy, because it sounds like you have a sort of general submissions inbox. But when you're reaching out specifically to an agent or editor or anybody, like we've seen this even for the podcast too. It's like somebody will be like, "Dear Author Wheel," and they don't address it to Megan. They don't address it to Greta. And immediately we know, okay, this is someone who doesn't know us, right?
So they're not listening.
Yeah, they haven't looked at who we are, what we're doing. Especially, yeah. Anyway, we get the same thing. So I feel your pain, but do that research so that you can make it more personalized. You know that, or you're showing the person on the other side that you know what you're doing and you know who they are, and you've, you know, made an effort to actually find somebody who would be interested in what you're offering.
100%.
Yeah.
I always say that, you know, I feel like finding an agent or finding an editor, acquisition editor, finding your publisher is kind of like, you know, a dating app. You only need one.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. per series or per whatever. Mm-hmm. You only need one. You're not going to have, you know, so be choosy and be professional and put your best foot forward. This is an important, important relationship. It's a long, ongoing relationship, you know, so give it the care that it deserves. And on that note, could you tell us what are you, Steph, what are you looking for? Like, what would just make your little acquisition editor heart so happy if you got it in your inbox?
This is very specific, but hear me out.
Okay.
I would love a domestic suspense thriller on holiday. So it's like, it's the last chance to save the marriage, or it's the reunion of the really cliquey high school group. And it's in a gorgeous location, you know, like a poolside resort. And the stakes are high because of all of these deep, dark underlying secrets, lies, betrayals. But then it's on holiday and, you know, the sort of hot sun is beating down on you and there's temptation everywhere and everything just, yeah, gets dialed up to 11. I mean, that's personally what I'm looking for. But amongst other things,
a cozy beach thriller. That's what you want, a cozy beach thriller. That's amazing. I love it.
If you get that book, would you please send it to me? I will blurb it for that author.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I'm also making notes because I could write that book. That would be so fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah. 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 Or just, you know, psych thrillers with an amazing, amazing initial premise or like a crazy plot twist. But yeah, twists and turns, the more the merrier, stick them in. Yeah. Well-rounded characters, moms who care about their kids and their families, and they'll do literally anything to hold it all together. All that good stuff. And I should put a plug in for my fellow editor at Joffy. You might be interested in this, Megan. We've actually just started looking at some fantasy.
Ooh.
So in particular, maybe a romantasy, which would go down very well with my colleague Jasmine.
Now, nice. we didn't meet Jasmine at the conference, right? We met your colleague Emma. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Emma's our editorial director and she works across the board, really. She has some Joffy titles and she has taken on and I would say completely revitalized our romance imprint, Chocolate.
Mm.
Good name for the imprint.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So what are all the imprints that Joffy has?
So we've got Chocolate for romance. And we've got Loom Books, which was one of the earliest digital publishers in the UK who were really successful. And so they have a whole list of, I mean, anything and everything. They've got some really amazing nonfiction on there. They've got some fantasy. That's where it all sort of began. We were looking at things like that. They've got some historical and some sagas. But we were sort of mining, you know, this list of books that readers haven't met yet. And found all of these fun new genres that we haven't necessarily worked with yet.
Oh,
that's exciting. But your bread and butter has always been mystery, thriller, suspense.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And that's my personal bread and butter.
All right.
Yeah, this is why we're friends.
This is why we're friends.
Yeah. So why don't you tell people where they can find out more about you and more about Joffy?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Joffy Books website has all kinds of stuff. It has all of our new books, all of our new releases, all of our new news. So we have all of our fun signing announcements. So if I get to sign a fabulous new author, you'll get to read about it on there. There's a blog. There's author bios, and then there's all of our editor bios. Joffy Books is also very big on Facebook. Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And I reluctantly agreed to get Twitter. I was once so excited about how well my author was doing that I made a Twitter account just so I could shout about it.
That's so fun. That's great. Well, and we will have all those links in the show notes. This has been so fun, Steph, catching up with you and all of that. I really enjoyed it. So listeners, if you are thinking about pitching, go check out Joffe Books and our buddy Steph. Also, if you are enjoying the podcast, please consider hitting that little button below that says support the show. Just a few dollars a month can really help us to keep the show on the air, cover our editing and hosting costs. We really appreciate it. We would also appreciate a review or hit those star buttons and a review if you're enjoying the show, and share your favorite episode with a friend. Until next time, keep your stories rolling.
Are you an aspiring author? Stop by www.authorwheel.com/stuff to download the top 5 writing roadblocks aspiring authors must overcome. Thank you for listening to the Author Wheel podcast, hosted by Greta Boris and Megan Haskell, edited by Jim Wilborn.